Good morning. Today is a Thursday, the 1st of December. Joining us this morning, clean-shaven one.
That's right.
Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Brian?
Good. Sounds like you've been busy again.
You know, yes.
I don't understand you guys. You never seem to just take a breather.
There's never a
smell
slowdown.
The roses on the way, you know, that you know, decompress a little bit. Do all those things that they talk about.
Yeah. There's never a slowdown in public safety and law enforcement. So
yeah, I'm learning that that's just kind of like panic is the constant mode.
Yes. Unfortunately, we would love for people to stop committing crimes and stop using drugs and overdosing,
yeah,
but
do it a timeout, call a timeout for
yes,
a day or two.
We would love it. We deserve a break, I would say.
Take a shot at it.
Yeah. Okay.
You ready for why do we say that?
I am.
All right. Do you want feathers and fur as a category?
No.
Many other. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm finding out I don't go too deep in that category also. All right. Why do we say, oh, boy, that's an easy. Okay. Hanky panky.
Well,
why do we as well start the month off good, huh, right?
You know what? I'm not going to answer this question. So, I'm going to just ask you just to clarify. Why do we say hanky panky? Because it's just probably better for me not to say much.
Okay. Now, they are saying, in addition to what you're thinking.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be tough to read. I'm already laughing and tearing up at the same time. Underhanded business also can be engaged in hanky-panky.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Strange as it seems, the expression is a logical one whose roots are easily traced. In many eras, magicians learned to keep the eyes of observers off their doings by means of distraction. An umbrella or a coffin is a tried and true source, as is a handkerchief.
Mm.
About 150 years ago or so, many a British master of fast movement swung a handkerchief with one hand to keep viewers from noticing what they were doing with the other. This practice was so common that the use of a hanky or handkerchief came to be associated with clandestine activity.
Wow.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yes.
Many influenced by hocus pocus, a rhyming word was also added. Presto, quicker than you can bat your eyes, hanky-panky came into being as just the right label for undercover activities.
Mm.
See, so you have a hanky-panky division.
Yes.
You didn't even know that.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? That is a dying breed, though. You don't see the handkerchief, you know? And so maybe that's a good business starter, you know? Maybe someone needs to start a handkerchief business and bring that back, especially with colds and that kind of stuff, how they're making the rounds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You think so? No?
You're not going to go with new badges and new titles, huh? I mean, if jailer was a big deal last time.
Yes.
The hanky-panky division might be just as well received.
That's over the top. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Oh, and then what would you call the chief?
Yeah. Chief Hanky?
Yeah.
Chief Hanky-panky? Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to start a new division, and yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and all the badges. The letterhead alone would cost too much.
It would. Terrible.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
You know, someone probably thought this might be a serious show this morning.
Well, you would think, you know. Yeah,
really quick,
you would think. But, you know, just going with past practice, I think they pretty much know what they get when they tune in to Talk Shop, right?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So what's going on out there? Just normal regulars, or are you seeing some bizarro?
We're seeing some, obviously fentanyl is still a huge issue. We have.
Yeah, that's the normal part.
Oh, my gosh. We're just, I was just talking to our coroner's office, and they've gone to one fentanyl death every day this last week. And so we're on track
it
to be double.
It must leave a real strong presence. I mean, if they can track it, even though it's a small little amount.
Yeah, so usually we find something there which corroborates, you know, what they pretty much die of. But we have to also do toxicity. So it takes a little bit of time. So it takes about a month and a half to get the numbers back as far as what they actually died from. But
oh, really? Is that long of a turnaround?
Yeah, we can suspect that this is probably what's happening. We have a drug user, commonly drug user, that we find, you know, near around where they
use experience to kind of guesstimate.
But we have to wait for that toxicology in order to confirm. So,
one a day,
which is just, I mean, it's just tragic. It really, really is. And so we're looking at probably 80% of our overdose deaths this year are fentanyl, and We're not seeing the heroin we do, and just it's all fentanyl.
It's also 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Not to totally bore everybody, but the fentanyl stuff.
Yeah.
Routine is not the right word to use because of the impact that it has, but it's commonplace.
Yeah.
80%. I mean, that's a staggering. You couldn't say that with booze. I mean, I guess you could say that with oxygen.
Okay, right.
You know, over 80%. Sure. They're not been able to think of anything that's over 80% with death causing.
Right.
I mean, just
it's you know we had a
is
brief,
that a, the local or is that regional or is that
that is whole, statewide? That this whole is statewide this is state. This is I mean we're I'm just telling regional numbers right now. I don't know what actually the numbers are statewide, but we're seeing this up and down the state, and it is all coming from Mexico. It's all coming from our border. We had a briefing, you know.
I don't know if it's a border. It's just kind of a transition zone.
Yeah, well, so we have obviously the porous border, but we had a briefing from Homeland Security, and they're saying that a majority of our fentanyl is coming through the ports of entry. So the ports of entry, the legal avenues for people to get into the United States, they don't have the resources to stop and monitor the amount of vehicles that are coming across
they
the border.
Spot check.
They spot check, and then once they find a vehicle, then it pulls away the resources, you know, and then they let.
So the other guys are doing end runs.
Absolutely. And it is absolutely controlled by the cartels down there. So they have mules that they'll bring in, you know, that have a couple pounds of fentanyl, and then they'll bring in thousands of pounds.
Truckloads. Yeah.
And it blows me away that we're not offering any kind of assistance at the border for this. They're overwhelmed.
The Border Patrol?
The Border Patrol, yes. DEA, you know, State Department of Justice, you know, California Highway Patrol, and that kind of thing. Why aren't we putting more resources to the border and helping
stopping? What is the response out of the Golden Dome? Anything?
The Department of Justice, actually, California is got a program to, I believe it's called Operation Stone Garden or something like that. But they have these a task force to tackle fentanyl once it gets here. So once it's across our border, absolutely. So it's exactly right. So we have all these millions of dollars that they're willing to give to different drug task force in the Southern California area that tackle, you know, the fentanyl issues down there, and the transportation and sales and distribution down there. But really, if we can stop it at the border, if we can encourage our government and the Mexican government to stop the cartels from transporting this. I mean, we're more focused in California on fruit coming in from Oregon than we are from fentanyl coming in from Mexico. Well, I mean, can you believe
they got the veggie stations open?
We still do that, and that's to me, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, it's just like.
So why, other than being PC, that's almost faded out now too, hasn't it? I guess woke is the now.
Yeah, I mean,
other than the PC thing. Why wouldn't you want to get it
exactly?
Right, you know, that first half mile or whatever. That's where you got all the doggies and
that's right.
And all the guys that handle this stuff.
Right. If this is pouring in and it's killing our California people, if this is hurting Californians, then why wouldn't you?
Or just Americans.
I mean, well, absolutely. But if you're the governor of California, okay, and we have more control here than obviously the federal government. Federal government needs to do their job and step up and make sure that that is covered. They're not doing it. So why not go and say, as Governor Newsom or our—
But if you got the dollars already assigned to it—
Right.
Just push everybody down to the—well, I suppose probably the Port of L.A. and Oakland and San Francisco also. But if that's where it's coming in, if it's not coming in on airplanes—
No, but it is coming through, you know, the ocean side as well. Yeah. So San Diego, Los Angeles, even all the way up to Ventura County, they're getting, you know, smugglers coming in with drug boats, smuggling across
the
border.
Are the Coasties picking off a lot of
Coasties are. Too? Coasties are picking it up, but they're just really smart, right? They're smart. They have unmanned boat crafts now, drones, so to speak, that are bringing it across as well. So
that's kind of cool on one side.
Yeah.
That technology is there, but it's kind of goofy that it's being used.
But we have to outsmart these people. We have to
do
our
part. Is it outsmart, Billy, or is it just commitment? And just say, you know, no.
It's both, really. I mean, we have to look at the technology, how they're utilizing it, and what they're doing, and try and shape our enforcement based upon what they're doing now. But we
don't have to out-IT them.
No. We don't.
Just know what's going on and recognize it. Yeah, the boat that pulls up on the beach and there's nobody in it.
Right.
Yeah, okay. You know, have the lifeguards check it out.
Right. Yep.
It's not rocket science.
You wouldn't, but you have to dedicate resources.
It's just a philosophical issue.
You have to dedicate resources to it because it's that big of a deal here in California. Now, we need to pay attention to it.
Because it does impact our area. Is that something, I guess McGuire is one of the seniors now, right?
Yeah, he's leading the Senate now.
Couldn't he
lead
the charge on something like this and say, you know, I don't need to have the political machine behind me to say yes or no on this?
Right.
This is impacting my territory and your territory and everybody's community, and let's just...
I wish they would speak up more for what's going on in Humboldt County with this. But unfortunately, a lot of times they just go with what the caucus wants. So what the overall Democratic caucus wants. And that's something we would love for
that's
there to be
mentality,
more.
That's herd mentality, not leadership.
Well, I agree. It needs to be that way. So.
All right. I guess I can say that you can't, huh?
Well, I just did, I think.
Yeah, well, no, you just agreed. You didn't, you didn't say the words, man. Okay. KINS News and Information Time.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hunsel. Rather than continuing to beat up on what isn't happening.
Sure.
Saw something last week, and we talked about it during not this last break, but the one before, about high-speed driving.
Uh-huh.
And I know what periodically we'll hear about somebody ripping through our area going at unimaginable speeds. But I think it was last week on I-5. Somebody was... measured at 152.
Yeah, that's fast.
Only on I-5, right, in our area. That's not a 101 kind of a thing. But how often do you guys and gals get involved with high-speed pursuits?
We actually get into them every week, essentially is what we do. You know, in
like 100 plus?
It depends. But what we do now, our pursuit policy really takes into consideration the danger pursuits cause to the public. And so more often than not, we are canceling pursuits because the danger to public outweighs our desire to catch this person who's fleeing.
The risk reward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're oftentimes, Our policy says that obviously they have to call out conditions, the speed, the direction of travel, and what we're chasing this person for. If this person just killed someone, had a violent act, you know, then catching this person obviously outweighs the risk to public safety. So, you know, we want to catch this guy from because we don't want him to hurt someone else in the future.
I would think, you know, it's not a sprint because you got guys on the other side.
Yeah.
You can you know narrow it pretty darn
right.
quick, you know, whether it's you guys and the CHP or local jurisdictions. What's the mindset of folks that are going that fast? Is it just an immediate, gotta go, boom, and they're not thinking? Or
yes, a lot of times, well, there might be people that have, you know, they're smuggling something or they're wanted for something. Sometimes it's just as minor as someone doesn't have a driver's license and they don't want to get caught. And so they'll run from us because they don't have a driver's license. And you know,
is
the
driver's
ticket
license that big a deal?
Well, in their mind at that time it is. In reality it's not. It's a citation. We may temporarily impound your car, but you're not going to go to state prison, you're not going to go to jail, you know, that kind of thing. It's just going to be essentially a fine and a slap on the wrist. But if you get into a high-speed chase and it becomes a felony pretty quickly, and then we are
at certain speed.
Yes, at certain speed. Yes, wanton disregard for you know
what is
public
the speed,
safety.
Or is it?
It all depends. The officer has to or deputy has to basically articulate the fact that this person drove in such a manner that had willful disregard for you know the safety of the public. Essentially, so
if you're in a 65, doing 80 isn't going to.
Doing 80, cutting in between traffic, cutting
the weaving
people off.
Thing,
absolutely. You know, it's
not
that slowing
down for crosswalks. But I'm thinking like doing our I-5 reference point.
Yes. You talk about
Southern Humboldt.
Yes. You know. Mix reckless driving with high speed pursuit, and that becomes a felony. That's where it becomes. So if someone is just fleeing, but they're not going, you know, over the speed limit, they're just failing to stop, essentially, for the lights and the sirens, you know, it still could be a misdemeanor.
My brakes don't work.
Well, yeah. I really have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, officer. I just live right here. Can't you let me go? Yeah.
I would suspect, no, a legal term, by the way.
Oh, suspect.
Yes. I would suspect that you could almost have a full chapter in a book of goofy reasons why.
Oh, absolutely.
Does anybody track those things and write them?
They
down?
Do. We have police jokes and that kind of stuff, and they're pretty funny. The classic one is, you know, when you find someone in possession of some illegal substance, you know, in their pocket, and they say, oh, these aren't my pants. That's the classic one. It's like, I'm sorry, I just searched you. Your wallet's in your back pocket, and this bundle of methamphetamine or fentanyl is in the front pocket, and you're saying these are not your pants? Where'd you pick these up? Oh, I just put them on at my friend's house. I didn't know that was there. and more often than not, people use that excuse.
Really?
And it's like, are you kidding me? You want me to believe that?
Oh,
Great.
Well, let's go to your friend's house then. And I want to see how tall they are or their size.
Well, we can't use that
anymore
because, you know, the way that pants fall off, you know, people.
Oh,
know.
That's true.
So,
anywhere from the knees on up. Huh?
Exactly. These are size 42 pants. Of course they're not my pants. It's like, okay. Well, sorry.
Yeah, I wish. But they'd probably be 28 and in season,
yes,
so I just
yes.
they'll be wearing somebody's shorts.
Yes, exactly. They'd be cute on you.
Thanks.
Yes. Knickers.
Yeah, looking for a golf game to break out somewhere. Oh, boy.
But yeah, so pursuits are dangerous. We don't, you know.
If you hear or see something like that coming up behind you.
Great question.
Is that a get over to the side?
We want people to move to the right as quick as possible. That's whenever you see lights, you know, or hear a siren from behind, pull to the right. The law states you're supposed to do that. It's the easiest thing for us to do.
What
we
about
don't,
the turkey that you're chasing? You look back and here comes somebody like a
pull
rocket
over.
Ship.
Absolutely. We want you to pull over. We want you to stay to the side of the road. We want, if you don't see any police following them and you see a vehicle that's going that fast, please call 911. Sometimes we lose people or we discontinue pursuits because of the high speed, and we would like to know where they're going. And so calling 911 and let us know that black sedan is still headed on Broadway, it gives us a chance to talk to California Patrol or Eureka Police Department. Maybe they'll pick up the pursuit. So
even though they're not sirens still?
Yes, attention. Yeah. Absolutely.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Hansel.
Yes, thank you, Brian. The respect is oozing.
No, not during the break. Not that last comment. No, dude. You lost it. Oh, holidays. We have got, I know it's a little bit far away, but there's a lot of parties. Obviously Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas week, New Year's, before we get together again next time. How much of an influence is weather on people's activities that you guys have interaction with?
So we're seeing less, you know, homeless on the street right now because of the weather. But we also
now, are they
experience
in shelters locally, or are they just moving?
I think more are occupying the shelters or trying to find some alternatives because it is obviously getting cold and sweat. It's less desirable to be out in the elements at this time. So they're taking advantage of some of the local, you know, shelters and that kind of thing. But we do see crime increase during this time. We see a lot of theft.
The traditional stuff?
The traditional stuff.
On the
breaking.
Front seat,
absolutely. But we have the porch pirates as well, right? The people that leave packages.
Those are the ones that are.
So really.
I mean, there's a violation of the property in addition to the violation of whatever it is that they're doing.
That's right.
And taking.
So it's just vigilance is really, really necessary in our neighborhoods now. When you see someone come walking up, you know, whether it's an obvious, you know, package on the front porch, you know, really, I would encourage people to have a conversation with those guys. Hey, what are you doing? Can I help you with something? You know, just a little bit of an interaction there will deter someone from stealing that package. Also, if you see package on your neighbor's front porch, you know, and they're gone or they're going to be gone.
Tuck it underneath.
Tuck it somewhere, you know, bring it over to your house and then deliver it later, you know, to them. It would be a smart thing as well. But it's just.
I'm fortunate, obviously, because I use the station address.
But
you just
people,
never know that. I mean, that's a whole temptation thing.
Yeah, so people, what they're going to do, okay, and what we see this, residential burglaries during the daytime, thefts, they're going to come and they're going to be bold enough to come to your front porch. They're going to ring the doorbell. They're going to knock to see if anyone's home.
Or hear a wolf.
Yeah, even at that. So. And so when no one answers or when someone answers, they go, oh, I was looking for, you know, so-and-so. Is George here? It's like,
so
no,
like
George is not here. Yeah. Okay. And what is your name and why are you here and that kind of thing. So please call us if some of those people are hanging out. We want to identify those people.
Just a simple, like you just described, a knock and
it
wrong
is,
name.
It is suspicious. We have reasonable suspicion that they are there casing based upon that interaction because that's how it happens because oftentimes, too, when you talk about daytime burglaries, they're going to knock at the door where there's no response. They don't hear a dog. They're going to go around to the side yard, and they're going to, like, knock on the fence. Hey, are you back there? You know, when they don't hear anyone, they're going to go into your backyard, break into a window, break into a sliding glass door, and then they're in your house.
Now, do they, this time of the year, are they scoping out Christmas trees? Is that an indicator? Or I mean, because I would think that there are homes that are more worthwhile taking the risk on?
I would say so, but they're just trying to find anything they could sell
just
quickly
anything.
For, okay. You know, for drugs or whatever else they need. Yeah.
So it's not a seasonal thing. It's just an ongoing.
It's
thing.
An opportunity. Absolutely. So crimes of opportunity are there. The less daylight we have now, you know, gives them opportunities to.
Well, and it's tough, you know, with. I'm thinking of the delivery guys and gals, you know, the FedExes, the UPSs, the mail guys. You know, you knock on the door, ring the bell, whatever it is, and then they leave it on the porch.
Right. So UPS, FedEx, they have the service where you can get a text when a package is delivered or an email.
Yeah, but if you're working, let's say it's 10:30 and you're working and you know, you're not in a situation where you can take advantage of something.
Right. Right.
You know, thanks, but.
Yeah. You can also enter in alternate addresses for them to deliver you know, packages. So they have a lot of issues.
That,
you know,
I think, is probably the one that more and more go towards.
Yeah. So we want to be less susceptible.
Is this happening more frequently?
It is. It is.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so it is something that we're definitely, people are just driving around just looking. And so.
The one that got me was a couple of years ago, and it was a van, and the guy driving had, you know, his minions. But he dressed up as Santa Claus.
Hmm.
And it's like, you, no. That's got to be good for an extra 5 years. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, leaning into that, so if somebody sees you or the kids see you.
Exactly.
No.
Anything they can do to kind of deter, you know, someone from calling, you know, oh, it's just Santa, it's just this, or you know, us not pulling them over. So we're suspicious of everyone, even Santa.
Now you are just like on the ragged edge of ugly. No, you can't end the show
saying that.
No.
So we have to be. We have to be. So that's just a part of our job, unfortunately. We've lost trust in every man, unfortunately. Everyone's let us down. So
Mrs. Santa?
Mrs. Santa, hopefully. She's still on the good list, so hopefully we're okay there.
What was it? Are you a fan of the Christmas or Santa Claus?
Santa Claus, the bad Santa?
The chief elf? No. Oh. No, the real one.
Oh, no.
Where he comes around the corner and ZZ Top's playing. He's getting ready to. Oh.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah, you have.
No.
Yes, you have.
No. I'm a Buddy the Elf fan.
I didn't think it could go lower. It just did. We're out of here. See everybody tomorrow.